Hello, I'm a Mac.
In the left corner, coming in at 80 gigs, hailing from office desktops everywhere, PC!
Okay, what's going on, buddy?
Well, your sales are through the roof. I'm showing the people I'm not going down without a fight.
PC, this isn't a competition, okay? Some people just want a computer that's simple and intuitive, that works the way they do.
Actually, my brother-in-law just got a Mac and loves it.
Hello, and welcome to Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Join me today, he's the founder of Cold to Mac and creator of the much-respected, much-feared London Handshake. Leander Caney is here.
Oh.
The very dangerous. Also with us, the managing editor of Cold to Mac, friend of Weird Al Yankovic, and his darts pals, they call him the Squirter, Lewis Wallace is here.
Yeah, you just never know what it's going to be, do you? Hey.
We have got a fun show for you guys this week. I know from experience that our listeners' favorite shows generally revolve around the earnings calls that Apple does every 3 months. And lucky you, that's exactly what we have on tap this week. But rather than just talk about it in some robotic fashion, we're going to spice it up. We pulled out the best surprises from Apple's very upbeat earnings report. In fact, it was so upbeat, the stock price skyrocketed in after-hours trading, which I was happy to see because I bought several thousand dollars worth of Apple stock at the beginning of this year because I had some extra money, and I thought, you know what? I'll do the responsible thing. I'll go ahead and invest this money. Apple stock's been going up forever. It's not going anywhere. Well, the moment I put my money in, within mere hours, it had plummeted through the floor. I think it dropped like 40%. And let's see, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. So we're 7 months into the year now, almost, I guess, 8 months in. And it's not even quite back up to where it was when I first put my money in.
So you're still in the water?
I'm still in the red after seven
months. Remind me not to get stock advice from you.
Yeah, so don't take my...
Wait, are we going to start a stock advice podcast? Maybe we...
That actually is not a bad idea. I mean, if that guy who's on that channel can just walk around yelling and hitting bongs and stuff, bongos, hitting the bong and then hitting the bongos, talking about stock prices, I mean, we could do it too. It will be about
at least hit the bong.
Yeah, right.
And then lose all our money in
Apple stock trades. Heck no, we're not going to lose our money. Apple's just going straight up from here, trust me. All right, and then let's see here. Oh, we got to talk about some controversy that happened this week. It was revealed by The Guardian that the conversations that you're having with Siri, this is actually surprising because I thought that they were secure. Turns out, not as secure as we all thought they were. In fact, Apple kind of got caught doing the same thing that Amazon has been doing, listening to your private conversations with Siri. So we will touch upon that story. I've got some more tips for you guys. This time I have some iPhone tips. Hopefully you enjoyed that very hot tip I gave to you guys last week. I'm trying to remember what it was, and actually I can't. I have no idea what it was. But these ones are going to be even better. I've got two this week. And we're going to wrap up with a story that all of our European listeners love.
Lovers.
The movie subscription plan availability in the U.S. It's parallel to the movie pass story. So we'll do a quick movie pass update. I'll tell you about a new movie subscription service that just popped up. This was the one I was waiting for, Lewis. This might be the one that has me jump back into the water. And I'll be seeing Jumanji 2. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Jumanji. The name escapes me, but it's coming out this December. And I have to have a plan in place by the time that movie comes out so I can see it once a day for 3 months until they take it out of theaters. Before we dive into all the fun, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. If you need a website, you should consider heading over to squarespace.com/cultcast. Here's one of the reasons why I enjoy using Squarespace. You can now manage your website from your iPhone or iPad with the updated Squarespace app. You can create a blog post, update your business hours, add an announcement bar to your website. You can do that all within the app and on the go. You edit your pages and know that if you go offline unexpectedly, your work will be preserved, and when you reconnect, you can pick up easily where you left off, save everything, and make all those changes on the go. But there's even more. If you're looking to learn more about your site stats, you can download the Squarespace Analytics app to access key website metrics and insights. If you're running an e-commerce store, you can download the Squarespace Commerce app to fulfill orders, manage product inventory, and resolve customer service issues. Squarespace makes it easy to manage your website wherever you want from wherever you are. And if you get stuck, you can always reach out to Squarespace's customer care team. They're there to help you 24/7. Head on over to squarespace.com/cultcast to get started with your website. Build a website, see how you like it, and at the end of your trial, if you decide to continue your service, you can use code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll save 10% off your first purchase. If you order a year of service, you get an additional discount and a free domain name, squarespace.com/cultcast. Oh, yeah. Okay, guys. Let's talk about the key surprises from Apple's very upbeat earnings report that had me upbeat after I saw my stock price increase.
Right. So, yeah. But I thought a lot of the headlines were kind of like gloomy yesterday that came out immediately afterwards.
Why do you think that is?
I think I don't know, you know, because this narrative that, you know, Apple's doomed.
They're doomed.
It just continues to...
It gets the clicks. What are you going to do?
It keeps going. But there was a lot of people were like, you know, it's kind of like, even though it was record-breaking for the Q3, like the most revenue they've ever had, you know, people are again, like, sort of fixated on things like China. I think people were saying, I think the headlines I saw were about sales in China, because they haven't exactly, you know, come... bouncing back hugely, bigly.
Yeah, bigly.
But
and iPhone sales. Everybody was that's a headline I saw. Yeah, iPhone sales down again. As a, you know, it's like
that is kind of true, but they make, you know, as we'll discuss, they're making up in other areas. We should probably say, like, off the top of the, you know, like they reported what was it, Lewis?
They reported $53.8 billion with a B dollars in revenue. That's an all-time high for their third quarter. It's up slightly from last year. And, yeah, I mean, $53.8 billion
in 3 months
in revenue.
In 3 months. And so it boggles the gourd.
It does, it does. And there were some surprises, right? So one, you know, like, and the surprise that, well, I guess it's not really that much a surprise. I'm sorry, there is a surprise, which is the iPhone is no longer king, but the first time since Q4 2012... iPhone sales make up less than half of all of Apple's revenue. And wearables are Apple's fastest growing product category, with AirPods and the Apple Watch growing in popularity. Services are also booming. And together, the two categories together are approaching the size of a Fortune 50 company, which is B-I-G.
I didn't even interrupt you, Leander. I had so many things I wanted to add to that point. But I zipped it, and I just let you do it. And you know what? I'm not even going to say anything. Lewis, what did you want to add?
Well, one of the things that I saw somebody point out was that, you know, forever they're like, oh my God, you know, it's horrible. Apple is so dependent on iPhone sales. Oh my God. And then, so in this case, for the first time ever, or not ever, first time in what, like 7 years, I think, the iPhone made up less than 50% of Apple's revenues. And people are like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But it's like they... they've taken steps to grow other parts of their business as the iPhone sales decline or plateau. So, you know, you kind of get slammed both ways, right?
Right. Is it a glass half full situation or not?
That's right.
Yeah.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. I was kind of happy to see them diversify a little bit.
Yeah, right, exactly. But, I guess people want to see, like, growing iPhone sales and, you know, massively
right.
growing,
exactly. massively growing everything,
and wearable sales too.
That's right.
It's not exactly bad news about the iPhone, is it? It's just that they're not. It's not on this huge, giant growth curve that it has been for the last 10 years.
Well, it's frankly, it's just impossible. I mean, unless they came out with, you know, something that was five times as fast and half the price and looks even better. I mean. It's just not possible. So many people own them already. So, I mean, they get such a big portion of the market. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It goes to the roof the way it did. It's like any other business. You can't be wildly successful just forever.
It does undergird the narrative, though, that Apple has not been able to create a product that is compelling enough that people are going out and buying it in droves, which is why I think this one point has become popular.
Well, yeah, like Lewis just said, and AirPods. I mean, they are becoming ever more popular.
Yeah, AirPods are becoming more popular, absolutely. But iPhone is the big one that everyone talks about, everyone looks to for innovation. And it was one of those ginormous product categories that Apple controlled for such a long time. And now all of a sudden, they seem to be selling fewer and fewer iPhones. And people start to raise the one eyebrow again. They're looking around. They're like, what's going on here? What's going on? And don't get me wrong. I love the AirPods. I think it's one of Apple's best inventions. But it's no, I mean, is it as life-changing as the iPhone? I don't think so. But tell me about wearables, Lewis.
Yeah, okay. Well,
since we're talking about wearables.
Apple's wearables business is now bigger than 60% of the companies in the Fortune 500, is what Cook said yesterday. I think it was Cook. Might have been Maestri. Mm-hmm. Maestri, how do you pronounce it? That name is... I like his accent. Last quarter, Apple made more money off wearables than it did the iPad or Mac. Think about that.
Wow.
Services and iPhone are the only product categories that are bigger than wearables now. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think that just speaks to the ramp that those things are on. I mean, if you look at the iPhone, how much money did they make off of that the first 2 years?
Yeah, well, nothing, because it was tiny. Yeah, the sales were anemic the first couple of years of sales for the iPhone.
So, I mean, you can't compare these things to this massive hit of the iPhone, which, I mean, that may never happen again.
But this is one of those things that, yeah, no, exactly. The iPhone is like, I think, once in a sort of generation kind of product, right? No one is gonna, is. I mean, you know, Apple is having trouble coming up with something to succeed the iPhone. I think even Steve Jobs would have trouble coming up with something to, take over from the iPhone. It's like one of those product categories I think is going to be around for perhaps decades. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think even AR glasses, if they ever, if they do become a mainstream product, I don't think they will displace it. I think a small pocketable, handheld computer, network computer is going to be, with us for a long time. Just the same as laptops and desktop computers have been with us for 30, 40 years now. So I don't think anything's going to unseat them. It's going to be a major product for a long time. But this is like people. One of the big dings when my book came out about Tim Cook. People were saying that the big question about Tim Cook and the Tim Cook era is like, can he innovate? Can he have introduced products as successful as his predecessor, as Steve Jobs, who's probably the hardest act to follow in the entire technology industry. And I'd say that this is like a testament to that. This is in hard numbers, two products that were introduced under Tim Cook's watch that Steve Jobs had apparently no input in whatsoever, the watch and AirPods, are now bigger than some of the products that Steve Jobs introduced.
Second, you mean from a revenue perspective?
Yeah, from a revenue perspective. Yeah. And that's a lot cheaper too. I mean, those are cheaper products as well. I mean, they're half the price. The Apple Watch is, I don't know what the average Apple Watch price. I would guess the average Apple Watch price is probably half of what the average iPhone price is.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're having to sell to get those kind of revenue numbers. They must be selling in pretty large numbers, right?
Interesting. Yeah, you would think that they must be, huh? Because they cost less per unit.
And AirPods are a bone. It's like, do you remember when the iPod first came out and it was really taken off and you saw white earbuds everywhere? I mean, the same thing is true now for AirPods. Pods.
Yeah.
You just see them everywhere, and everyone, all kinds of people have got them on.
Yeah, especially if you go to the gym. If you ever go anywhere near a gym, I mean, the concentration of AirPods within a 1 mile radius of any gym is like five or six times higher than the general population. They're everywhere when you go to the gym.
Right.
They're the new white wired headphones.
Somebody on the staff in Slack the other day was talking about, oh yeah, I don't have AirPods. I just use the earbuds that came with it. I'm like,
dear Lord,
I found that kind of shocking. Like, a
did
what you
fire
into?
That person?
No.
Yeah, you need to find out who that is.
I can't remember. I might have to go back in and scrub the thing so nobody gets hurt. But it just seemed so. I mean, I can't even imagine going back to corded earbuds. I just, I, it doesn't, it, they're so much more convenient. I can't even talk about it. I have a hard time taking it seriously.
It's so imaginable. Like, you can't even articulate it.
I mean,
you can't even get
honestly,
the words out of your mouth. My God.
After you've used them, I mean, can you imagine going back?
They are life-changing. Absolutely.
I literally can't imagine it. I know. I mean,
we're free. We're free. It's like Andy Dufresne coming out of that horrid, putrid pipe at the end of Shawshank Redemption and then deciding, yeah, I want to go back in. You know, it's just, it's impossible. It's not going to happen.
Sure.
There's before life, before AirPods, and life after AirPods. I hear what you're saying, Lewis. That's how I feel too. Especially when my whole family is going insane, and I can just pop into one and listen to a podcast, and no one even knows that I'm doing it, and just be covert about
sneaky.
It. Oh yeah,
I do that all the time. All the time.
You're like, whenever my wife comes in, she's complaining. I just pop one in. I just say, but I'm secretly listening to a podcast.
Secret's out.
I don't think it's not a very well kept secret. I don't think.
But
I think it's a strategy
stealth,
for many people.
Right.
Okay, we got to start cruising through these because I know you guys got to go. So
big surprise, Mac Pro could be coming back to America after all.
Uh-huh.
So this is a pretty shocking moment during the financial call. Tim Cook on the blower, on the Dog and Bone, said that Apple might, after all, keep the Mac Pro production in the USA. And this was after they said that they were trying to move the production to China, but Trump's tariffs, you know, put a wrench in that plan. They applied to the Trump administration to have some parts excluded from Trump's tariff, but then Trump like immediately jumped onto Twitter and said that Apple should make it in the USA or no deal at all. And so then Cook on the call this week said that Apple is looking into it.
And might move it back to Texas, where it was for the last version of the Mac Pro.
Which I thought
was pretty cool that they were making a Mac Pro here in the US. Whose notification was that, Lewis? You know, I'm just going to start calling you out.
True.
I'm just going to start publicly shaming you.
Somebody walked in the front door. The home kit. I'm sorry.
Unless
it's
a guy in a ski mask and he's holding the crowbar and coming up the stairs, we don't want to hear the notification.
Pretty sure it was piano lesson person.
I don't care, but you know the listeners. I know. It drives them wild. It drives them wild.
Mea culpa. I apologize from the depths of my heart. And all the notifications have now been turned off.
He'll be properly
as long as it's
flogged.
Over an hour, we'll be okay.
Okay. Don't worry. Just want to let everyone know we're going to properly flog him with his own shoe after the show's over. Okay. Let's talk about Apple Card then, Lewis.
Yeah. So this is another thing. I mean, this is kind of a confirmation of something we suspected, but he said it's coming in August. The Apple Card is coming in August. We heard a report last week that that's when it was happening. This is just the confirmation. I've been listening to these sometimes slightly boring earnings calls for a long time, and it seemed like there was actually more news than I remember hearing coming out of one of these in a while. I mean, I don't know. I was kind of shocked. Anyway, Apple Card, if you're not familiar, it was originally unveiled during the Apple event last March, and thousands of Apple retail employees reportedly have been beta testing this thing over the last month. So if you want one, go sign up, and Apple will let you know when they're available. Apparently, it's coming very soon.
Where do you go to sign up?
Oh, geez. I don't know. Apple website, something, blah, blah.
AppleWebsite.com.
If you go to apple.com/Apple Card.
Uh-oh.
There you go. All one word, Apple Card.
There's a little link up there
that
says notify me.
Got
and
it.
You can. They'll tell you when it's available. I don't think you can apply yet. I think you have to wait till they...
It's essentially Apple ID email address, and we'll send you the latest news about the Apple Card.
Yeah,
and I'm sure you guys are both gonna get one, right? Just so you can test it out.
You know, I don't think I am. I've got about 17 credit cards, and I don't need any of them. I don't really know why I need an Apple Card. Frankly, I don't know why I need any credit card at this point. I almost always use Apple Pay. So,
really?
That's not true. I mean, obviously, you have to have credit cards, and you have to have something on Apple Pay, but yeah, I don't know. some of the features sound okay, but I don't know. I'm not convinced it's something I need.
Yeah, I want to try it out, but I already have credit cards that I really like, so I'm on the fence. I'm like, the only reason I want to apply for it is just so I can speak about it on the show. That's really the only reason. But, you know, applying for a credit card, it affects your credit, and then you got to use this new credit card. I don't know. I'm on the fence. I know Leander will do it. Maybe we can just get him to do
it. I'm going to go on a huge spree. I'm going to run it up to the maximum the first weekend.
It's the only way to know how the experience will really feel. You got to go out and spend $10,000. Make sure you tell Tracy. It's for the site. What can I do? I got to buy $10,000 worth of Apple stuff.
Right. That biking gear and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe pick up one of those new Mac Pros. You know, while you're at it. Okay, let's wrap up with this 1 point from...
Well, this is the most exciting...
I agree. I totally agree. Leander, all you.
This is the most exciting surprise, I think, that R&D has gone bananas. So, you know, investors are always trying to get some small glimpse at Apple's product roadmap, especially during this sort of Q&A section of the earnings call. There was, like, several questions about this, and, you know, Tim Cook usually shuts this down. This time, he said that Apple has exciting new products ready to come out for the rest of the calendar year. And some evidence that Apple is cooking up something really big and exciting is that their R&D numbers are through the roof. The company spent $4.3 billion, which is a massive number, on R&D last quarter. That's in 3 months. That's like more than $1 billion a quarter. And it's more. That's actually more than it spent. I'm sorry, a month, more than $1 billion a month. And that's more than they spent in all of 2010 and 2011 combined.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
That's my only contribution to that one.
Okay. There we go. That's a lot of money. I mean, they're also, you know, I will bet that this is Project Titan.
Mm.
And, you know, the tooling for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, it, you know, because this is the kind of thing when they bought, you know, like when they're doing the unibody Macs and unibody iPhone and iPad, you know, they were buying up all these CNC machines to carve out, you know, the products out of, you know, these big chunks of aluminum, and that was like that shows up in R&D spending, you know, the kind of stuff that they're using to tool up the factories.
Well, wouldn't that be capital expenditures? I mean, would that? To use to build stuff in a manufacturing plant.
Good point, but I remember researching this when I was in the book and talking to Horace Dediu, and he was saying that this shows up in the they lump it into the R&D for some reason.
Hmm.
Like the capital expenditure, I think they break out is just the real estate, you know, mostly stores,
mm-hmm.
And then everything else is like factories. And then this other stuff goes into the R&D budget.
Well, they're clearly doing something. They spent the same amount of money in 3 months as they did in the two previous years. They got something. He's cooking up something.
Good one.
He's got his chef's outfit on for sure.
And okay. How much is $4.3 billion? Isn't that kind of like, you know, like up there with like what the Navy spends on a aircraft carrier?
I don't think it's quite that much, is it?
I think the military fryers.
Yeah, no kidding. Gobble gobble, y'all. Okay, well, let's see here. Let's move on to this this series story, and I'll cover this one real quick so we can get into the more fun iPhone tips and the new movie offerings I mentioned before. And plus, we're running real long. How did we already get this far into the show just through that one story alone?
Earnings, okay. Yeah, earnings, exactly. Madness.
They're that exciting. Earnings Madness, I think we just found our title. Okay, so let me touch on this story about Apple hearing your conversations that you have with Siri. This was surprising, especially because it doesn't seem like Apple has disclosed that they are doing this. And again, this is exactly what Amazon is doing. And I took a little bit of a poo-poo on Amazon for doing this. And I have to admit, I want to take a little bit of a poop on Apple for doing this too, because... they should be disclosing this type of thing. So the story goes like this. This was from a report from The Guardian. Apple contractors regularly hear confidential details on Siri recordings. Workers hear drug deals, medical details, and people having sex, says a whistleblower. And that was just on Leander Caney's Siri recordings.
I can't believe that. It was so quick usually that I can't believe they caught it.
Where's that? No, wait. There we go.
the drug deals, though. Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, got it. So, Apple contractors regularly hear confidential information, although Apple doesn't explicitly disclose this in its consumer-facing privacy documentation. A small proportion of Siri recordings are passed on to contractors working for Apple around the world. They are tasked with grading the responses on a variety of factors, including whether the activation of the voice assistant was deliberate or accidental, whether the query was something Siri could be expected to help with, and whether Siri's response was appropriate. Well, they need to hire some more contractors then. I swear no, I activate Siri 10 times a day. And it just is constantly, especially on my Apple Watch, it will just start dictating what I'm saying because it thinks that I activated it. So they need to get some more help in that team. Apple says the data is used to help Siri and dictation understand you better and recognize what you say. Apple told The Guardian in a statement, a small portion of Siri requests are analyzed to improve Siri and dictation. User requests are not associated with users' Apple IDs. Siri responses are analyzed in secure facilities, and all reviewers are under the obligation to adhere to Apple's very strict confidentiality requirements. And the company Apple added that a very small subset, less than 1% of daily Siri activations are used for grading. And those used are typically only a few seconds long. Well, they can tell if it's a drug deal in a few seconds? Oh, I guess only some of them are a few seconds. I mean, how can you even tell if it's a drug deal? I mean, what is spoken inside of a drug deal that would indicate what type of deal is happening? And it's like, hey, man, here are the drugs that you requested. I've got your drugs. Like, who says that? No drug dealer ever says that.
They say things like, the eagle has landed.
Yeah, they speak right? in euphemisms, like, right?
Yeah. Well, these guys must know all the codes, I guess.
The sensual interactions might be a little easier to spot. You're just press play, and then you just hear, oh!
Well, it could
you're
be.
Like, oh, geez.
Could be taking a poop or something.
That's a good
God
point.
Almighty.
That's actually a great point, is the bathroom interactions and the sensual interactions oftentimes sound like the same thing. I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely can't tell the difference in my house.
Didn't you find this Apple thing, you know, typical downplaying? Oh, yeah, it's only typically, you know, less than 1% of daily Siri activation. 1%?
Yeah.
How many times how many iPhones are there? How many Macs are there? How many daily Siri activations must there be?
Right. It's probably billions.
You know, a billion?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's 1% of a billion?
I'm not even going to try to do
that. Why don't you try to do the math again?
Anytime I do math on this show, it ends up being at least one or two decimal places off. So we'll let the listeners do it on their own calculators. Let me finish off this story here. A whistleblower working for the firm, I guess he's a contractor, who asked to remain anonymous over fears of losing their job. Boy, this really is secure, huh? He's talking to the press. Expressed concerns about this lack of disclosure, particularly given the frequency of with which accidental activations pick up extremely personal information. He went on to say, there have been countless instances of recordings featuring private discussions between doctors and patients, business deals, seemingly criminal dealings, sexual encounters, and so on. These recordings are accompanied by user data showing location, contact details, and app data, which is interesting because doesn't that kind of contradict Apple's statement that there is no personal identifying information? And this person is saying there's contact details in here. Like,
they said it's not associated with the Apple ID.
Okay. Well,
very carefully worded.
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
Gobbledygook, right. And he went on to say this one last thing. Apple is subcontracting out. There's a high turnover. It's not like people are being encouraged to have consideration for people's privacy or even consider it. If there were someone with nefarious intentions, it wouldn't be hard to identify people on the recordings. Are you guys surprised by this information? I have to say I'm kind of not.
I am, because they said that they didn't do this kind of stuff, right?
Did they specifically say they didn't do this kind of stuff?
I remember from the keynotes and from all the discussion about Siri and AI and their AI efforts, you know, there's been this long narrative that Apple is hampered because all the processing happens locally and they don't upload any stuff to the servers. This is supposed to be the difference between, you know, Google Voice and Amazon Alexa. And of course, Amazon's had these kind of controversy in the past. So from what I can remember, you know, the narrative was that, Apple is a lot more private because They're doing all of the processing locally. Nothing ever gets uploaded to their servers. So, yeah, it's a surprise if it, you know, they are in fact doing this.
I don't know, but we're not going to stop using Siri, are we? So it's not going to affect our behavior at all, right?
I'll stop using it more. I'm more likely to use it less just because it's still not that amazingly helpful. So the one detail out of this story that was juicy and interesting and also made me wonder if this is all just a bunch of, you know, BS. So did you read this bit? Siri can accidentally be activated when it mistakenly hears its wake word, which of course we all know is that one phrase that we don't want to utter on the air. But this contractor whistleblower said the sound of a zip Siri often hears as a trigger.
Like a zipper?
Like you're unzipping your pants and Siri thinks it hears Siri.
That's why it's going to that sexy time recording.
See, but that just sounds ludicrous to me.
That the zipper sound would activate it?
Yeah, let's try it.
Yeah, ready? Try it out.
Oh, no.
That sounds like you're getting ready to rap.
God, these are my jeans.
Grandmaster Keeney.
Siri's not... This is rubbish. Siri's not turning on at all.
Well, take your dingling out.
Maybe I'll get my... Yeah.
Oh, there it goes. Now it's listening.
I can't do that. I'm right in front of the window. Someone might see.
Oh, I'm sure that's never stopped you before, but... all right. So there's that story. Let's move on to these iPhone tips, and then we can wrap up with this this movie pass type story. I want to give you two very succulent iPhone tips this week. I ran into an occasion where I was typing something on my iPhone, and then I accidentally deleted it, and it was gone, and there's no control button or command button. You can't command Z to undo it. Do either of you two gentlemen know how to undo typing on the iPhone?
Yeah, you shake it.
You shake it. Lewis, did you know that?
I think that's one of those things that I knew and forgot.
Okay, so if you ever need to undo typing on the iPhone, like if you accidentally delete something, you just shake your iPhone, boom!
It works for a bunch of other things, too.
What's that?
It works for a bunch of other stuff as well.
It's just a general undo action, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think it works for, like, you know, closed tabs. I think I've done it for...
Oh, that's a... I never considered trying that before.
Let me try it here. Hold on.
Okay, yeah, give it a shot. Let's get the final word real time.
Closed tabs.
Yeah, no, like
it doesn't work for closed tabs. Sorry,
like
take
if you
that
close
back.
A tab, Lewis, and you're like, "Whoops, I didn't mean to close that tab." It didn't work, Leander.
No, I'm sorry.
That's
yeah,
a bummer.
Completely wrong about that.
It should definitely work on that, but that's something they should build in because I've done that before too. Okay, the other bonus tip is something that you've probably heard about, but I started using. Did it work?
No, I'm sorry. I did. Something else.
False alarm?
More zipper problems.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Hey, you got to go to the hospital.
Oh, God. I did that once. Oh, my golly.
So this other tip, real hot tip for iOS 13. They added the ability to silence unknown callers. I turned this on this week. Blissful silence. I get so many spam calls every single day. I probably get 5. Some days I get even more. I might get 10. And they use local area codes to trick you into answering the call. So in iOS 13, I'm on the beta 4, which is finally the first beta I would actually recommend to people. They seem to have ironed out all the major bugs. If you want to turn it on, you go into General in the settings and then to iPhone, and then you select Silence Unknown Callers. So this will silence callers that aren't in your contacts list. It will basically just send them directly to voicemail. And then after the call hangs up, it will just give you a little notification that you missed the call. And I have beautiful, beautiful silence now on my iPhone. I'm not having all those ridiculous phone calls come in every day. And if it is someone important, they always just leave you a message. So you can listen to your messages, and normally what I do is I listen to my messages, and it says, press 2 to be placed on our do not call list. And of course, we all know that doesn't work worth a S-H-I-T-E. I think it just confirms to them that you're actually a real person, and then
right.
they call
and
you
then
even
it
more
goes
often.
Goes on to their do call list.
Exactly, exactly. All right, so there are your two tips. I think we're going to keep doing these every week. Hopefully people are enjoying these tips. And I actually kind of like coming up with them. So we'll keep doing them going forward. Let's wrap up with a conversation over a brand new unlimited movie streaming. Well, it's not streaming. Unlimited movie viewing plan. This is in the same spirit as MoviePass, but we all know MoviePass will probably be gone in mere weeks. In fact, they've stopped taking on new members, Lewis. I don't know if you heard. If you go to MoviePass.com, they are actually not accepting any new members, probably because they're bleeding money and are trying. This is like a tourniquet for them. You know, they're trying to stay alive as long as possible.
MoviePass is dead to me. I've quit paying any attention to them whatsoever.
Me too. Me too. It's become a total joke, but it gave us lots of great content, and boy, I had a good year with them for sure. But the legacy of MoviePass, and what I'll always love about MoviePass, is that they forced these major movie chains to consider changing the way that they do business in the business of movies. Because previously, you had to just go buy tickets, and then AMC copied MoviePass with their own AMC Stubs service, which allows you to see a certain amount of movies per week for a certain price every month. Well, the one I was waiting for is from Regal. Regal Cinemas is one of the largest movie chains here in the United States. I think it might be smaller than AMC, but I think it might be in second place. And there is a Regal Cinema right up the street from my house. So they finally announced their Regal Unlimited plan, which was just announced this week. And it's pretty interesting. It's actually quite different from the MoviePass or the AMC Stubs plan, but it's very similar in price, and it's kind of going after a different audience. So I've analyzed both plans, and if you're interested in taking on a new movie viewing subscription plan, I'm going to talk about both these and the pros and cons, and hopefully it will give you some information to make the decision on which service to go for. So first of all, they have three price tiers. There is a $18 a month tier, which allows you to see movies at up to 200 Regal Cinema theaters. There's the Regal Unlimited Plus for $21 a month. And then there is the Regal Unlimited All Access, which grants you unlimited tickets for any Regal theater. I forgot to mention the Regal Unlimited Plus, the $21 plan, the middle plan. It gives you access to 400 theaters. So $18 for 200 theaters, $21 for 400 theaters, or $23.50 for unlimited movies at any Regal theater. Now, all the plans give you unlimited access to 2D movies. You can't see any other kinds of movies. No IMAX, no 3D, unless you want to pay some kind of surcharge. And I don't know how much those will be. They'll probably vary depending on the theater that you go to. There are other perks with the plan as well. You get a free large popcorn and soft drink on your birthday, and 10% off all food and non-alcoholic drink purchases. And you still earn Regal Crown Club points towards things like free popcorn. So basically, the more money you spend, the more points you earn, and then you could spend those points on different snacks and stuff. But here are some of the downsides of the planet, and this is the big one. I think they kind of shot themselves in the foot on this, and I'll tell you why in just a sec. If you want to reserve movies ahead of time via the Regal app, it's a 50-cent surcharge for every ticket you purchase through the app. Now, AMC Stubs doesn't charge you anything for reserving tickets ahead of time via the app. You can just reserve ahead of time. So this is a huge issue with this particular plan, in my opinion, because if you don't want to pay a surcharge, you have to go to the theater, which is annoying. And by the time you get to the theater, your theater might be full or may not have optimal seating left. And you also have to sign up for a year of service. You don't have to pay for a year of service up front, but you commit to a year of payments. So you have to pay them for an entire year every single month for a whole year before you can change your plan or before you can cancel the plan. And again, it only allows you to see 2D movies. Let's talk about the AMC plan. The AMC plan only lets you see 3 movies a week, and the prices are almost identical to the Regal plan, but you can see any movie you want. You can see 3D movies, you can see IMAX movies, any type of, you know, larger format movie you can go see. And you can make reservations via the app for free. So you can reserve ahead of time, go in and see the movie. So one theater chain is really they're really aiming their plan towards people who want to get a premium experience. And then Regal is aiming towards people who want to just see unlimited movies, unlimited 2D movies. So it's kind of more like MoviePass. Lewis, you were a MoviePass subscriber. Which one of these plans sounds more appealing to you? Which one would you go for?
Well, for a very specific reason, I would never go for the Regal one, just because the only Regal theater in San Francisco is a piece of garbage.
Oh, is it
worst theater I've ever been in?
Deep Throat?
Yeah, is that where you took your
mom?
I was going to take that joke. Too, never mind.
Are you familiar with this one, Leander?
Where is
it's
it?
Out of Stonestown. It's out in the parking lot there at Stonestown. And
oh, that one! That place? That's a Regal?
Is it a huge dump?
I have never actually been inside there. I take the kids, when I was trying to teach my sons how to drive, that we used to drive around that parking lot. Because it was always empty.
But a great place to learn to drive, huh?
Yeah.
Now that I've said that, I wonder if I'm right about that. I'm pretty sure that that is the one. I don't think that it's a different one that's like inside the thing. It's the one out in the parking lot.
I always wanted to go there.
Let me balance the playing field. None of this information is pertinent to the conversation here, Lewis.
I'm just saying, you're being
too much of a realist. I want to know about the plan offerings, not about the theaters themselves. So let's just say that AMC and Regal in your area have the exact same types of theaters, okay? Even playing field. And now you're just looking at the plan details themselves. Which one of these plans would be more appealing to you?
What are the differences, man? I don't even actually know. The prices are about the same, and the one is completely unlimited. But honestly, when was the last time you went to see more than three movies in a week? I mean, I can't imagine it happening. Even when I had MoviePass, that never happened. Never, ever happened. So, I don't know. All these things. Like, I love movies. I love to go see movies. But going to see one is a little bit of a pain, and there's just no way that it would make sense for me to subscribe to one of these things if I had to pay like $20 a month.
Oh, so you wouldn't want to pay even the subscription fee to go see movies that often?
Well, it's just like a big commitment, right? I mean, I'm confused by the Regal one because it's like, you know, how they come up with this. Oh, $18 for 200 theaters. I don't quite understand what's the difference in the theater. I mean, doesn't it all boil down to what theater is near your house?
Well, I was going to say, how many theaters do you want to go visit? I mean, it's not like going to get on an airplane and go, like, you know, go to another theater.
Well, I think the way they do it is they look at their niceness net level of each theater and the demand for each theater, and they say, well, if you want to access the lowest tier of theaters, then you can pay $18 a month. But if you want to access the nicer theaters, you have to pay $21.
Oh, I see.
So for instance, in my state, there are no $18 a month theaters. The only ones available are $21 a month.
Got it. This is how 24-Hour Fitness, you know, with their different clubs, right? They have some really scuzzy clubs, and you can join their sport plan, you know, and you can just get into the scuzzy clubs. But then if you want to upgrade to the elite, the pro plan, then you can go to the nice ones where they have swimming pools and saunas.
Exactly.
And stuff.
Do you want to Do you want to go to the theater with the nice recliners and the gourmet popcorn, or do you want to go to the seedy Mission District theater where there's questionable stains on the seats?
Right, exactly.
They play the movies that Leonard Katie's interested in, you know, like that kind of stuff. So it's really a matter of what.
You know, the thing about charging you 50 cents, you know, that drives me crazy, too. Because, like, it's free, right? It doesn't cost them anything to let you buy a ticket in their app.
Exactly.
It's stupid.
It's just a preventative measure. It seems like they put it in place specifically to discourage you. So they have the unlimited movie carrot dangling in front of your face, right? And you're like, hey, unlimited movies. But then they make it hard for you to actually go see the movies. Or 50 cents, it's not hard, but it's annoying because now you're having to pay for every single ticket that you get. So it makes it, they discourage you from using the online ticketing service. Yeah, after their plan came out, I was thinking to myself, the AMC plan now seems to be the way to go because, as you pointed out, and this is my very first thought, who can see more than three movies a month or a week, I should say. So the AMC plan lets you see three movies a week unless you're retired or you're a complete deadbeat. Yeah, exactly. Like,
I mean, you know, there are moments in your life where it could make sense.
Sure, that's true. Like if you're retired or if you don't have a job and you have no plans to actually have a job.
Got the summer off. Who knows? I mean, there are plenty of, it would not fit my lifestyle.
yeah, my lifestyle either. I would be struggling to see one movie a week at this point in my life. But the AMC plan for $22 a month in my area gives you the ability to make reservations ahead of time and to go to any theater that they have in this state and to see IMAX movies. I guess for me personally at this point, the convenience alone and the niceness of the theater matters the most, you know, because I have money, less time.
Get in. I guess paying more attention to this, yes. Definitely of those two plans, if I had to do one, I mean, aside from the fact that AMC is the one that has a lot of theaters in San Francisco near me, yeah, that plan sounds better. I mean, if I'm going to pay to subscribe for the, you know, like basically commit to going to see movies in theaters, yeah. I definitely want to go see IMAX when, you know, the hot new movie comes out in IMAX.
Absolutely.
So
I don't really care about 3D movies that much. Do you?
I like them.
Actually, I actively avoid them. You got to put those...
Well, do you have your own glasses?
No.
Your own 3D glasses?
No, who has their own 3D glasses?
I do.
You have your own? Like, for the movies?
Do you really?
Yeah.
Why would you buy your own 3D glasses?
Because I got these ones that are, like, bigger. They go over my plain old I-can't-see-anything glasses. So now when I go to a theater, yeah. I can actually... They wrap around, you know, like goggles almost.
So you have like those grandma Sunday driving sunglasses that are square and they go over your entire glasses and face is what you're telling me?
I like to think I look more like a, you know, like a daredevil skier.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's the way you envision yourself. Everyone else is like, right. Hey, look at that. Grandma has her own glasses. That's cool.
Right.
As you're tilting them forward so that your eyes can focus on the movie.
I mean, this has always been one of my problems with 3D movies. I mean, I like them because especially for like, you know, sci-fi movies and things, they can be really beautiful and powerful. But those glasses they give you in the theater, they're, you know, like, I mean, I'm stone cold blind and trying to prop those over my glasses just doesn't work. So for $10, I bought some, you know.
They're only $10?
Old lady ones.
I mean, shoot, $10. That's not bad.
I'm breathing into the mic again. Yeah, sorry about that. It's, at least enough.
It's better than that nose flute you played the other day for sure. Okay, well, look, there you have it. There are my thoughts on Regal's new unlimited movie viewing plan and AMC's. I know there are a lot of movie fans out there who were somewhat excited that Regal had their own plan and you wanted to hear the pros and cons of each plan. So hopefully that helped you. I think I'm going with AMC myself. But I got to make a decision here soon because Jumanji is right around the corner and it's got Jack Black, it's got The Rock, and it's got Danny DeVito and Danny Glover. So you know that's going to be a hot one that I'm going to want to see at least 5 to 6 times in the opening week. So I got to get myself prepared. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come say hi to us on Twitter or talk to us about any of the stories we covered on today's show, we're all on Twitter. I'm at Airfon. Leander is at L. Kenny. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the cult cast, the best. Where am I going? I've completely lost my place. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. I went too low on that one. I think I strained my larynx. Oh, I need a sip of water here. I feel better. Don't be too concerned, guys. I feel better.
Glad we didn't have to use your Apple Watch to signal.
Exactly. I could tell from Leander's clicks he was up. He was terribly concerned.
'Cause Orange is the New Black.
That's a
my
great
daughter's
line.
Been streaming it.
Oh.
Binging it, I mean.
Yeah.
There's actually kind of a lot of sex in that show. It was a bit embarrassing.
I heard. isn't that weird watching sexual stuff with your daughter? That's got, even with your children, period, that's got to be so weird.
Well, she's old enough now, not really.
Yeah?
Not really, no.
I don't think I'll ever get used to it.
I don't think I would like watching stuff like that with your daughter.
I mean, imagine if you walked in to your mom's apartment and she was watching some weird Game of Thrones sex scene. Would you want to watch that with her?
No. Well,
actually, with your mom, maybe.
With my mom, it's kind of funny because we just make jokes about it and laugh about it, you know? Yeah. So I'm hoping that I'm going to have the same with my daughter.
Which candidate is it? Is it Hickenlooper who went to see Deep Throat with his mom?
Oh, my God.
What?
Did you hear about this?
No.
I didn't either.
Who? One of the presidential candidates?
Yeah.
What, did he admit this on stage or something?
Not last night. John Hickenlooper took his mom to see adult movie Deep Throat.
What?
That can't be
this
real.
This is in USA Today. This is not some, you know, Russian bot news.
Do you have any context around why he did that? Because that is one of the most disgusting.
His mom wanted I can't believe you never heard this.
His mom wanted to see it, I guess.
She just really wanted to see it.
Former Democratic governor of Colorado explained how he once took his mother to see the adult film Deep Throat with him and a friend. He recounts a story in a 2016 memoir, the Denver Post reported.
That's not something that you put in your memoir. That's something that you deny. And if anyone ever asks you about it, you call them, you're like, that's sick. How dare you accuse me of such a thing?
You just drink until it's wiped out of your mind. It happened when an 18-year-old Hickenlooper returned home to see his mother after being away at college. He'd promised a friend he'd see the film in a theater with him, but Hickenlooper claims they didn't know what an X movie was. Yeah, he also didn't inhale.
Well, you certainly knew what it was after the first 10 minutes. That's when you get up and leave.
The weird thing, did you see that documentary about that movie?
I didn't.
And Linda, what's-her-face? Saying it was like one of the first, it was kind of somewhat half mainstream. It had wide distribution. A lot of people went to see it. It was kind of like a sign that you were sort of cool and liberated and you weren't uptight and all, you know. And they had like a lot of people were sort of, you know, quite proud to go see it. It was a weird cultural moment.
Okay, but even so, proud to go see it and taking your mom to go see it is a pretty big leap.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the next thing. Hickenlooper described his mother as, quote-unquote, mortified at the popular 1970s adult film, but he said she insisted on staying because she'd bought a ticket. This despite his pleas to go.
Oh, my God. That is totally bizarre.
Gotta get your money's worth.
Yeah.
On the way home, Hickenlooper recounted, his mother complimented the movie's, quote-unquote, very good lighting. Pretty good gaslighting, too.